It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Wicked winds from coast to coast.
You can't stop Mother Nature. Mother Nature's going to come whether you like it or not.
That is our top story this Friday. Wildfires in California and wind storms here, both wreaking havoc today. Let's start outside. The lights are out all across New York and Pennsylvania this afternoon after ferocious winds brought down trees and power lines from Williamsville to Williamsport.
Tree stump is through the roof, and then there's like two other marks where it like punched holes.
Hundreds of thousands of folks without power today in New Rochelle, New York. Last night, a young girl was hurt while trick-or-treating after strong winds blew a tree on top of her.
I could hear her like whimpering in pain. It was really terrifying.
We heard the girl screaming, and it was more the mom, like obviously very upset.
Firefighters had to use chainsaws to get the tree off the girl, who was rushed to a hospital with several broken bones. She's expected to make a full recovery. Utility crews all across the Northeast working round the clock to get the lights back on. Some places could be in the dark all weekend long. Erie County, New York Executive Mark Polenkar.
Right now, I think we're in a good position as a county, as it is, but we're working with the local utility companies to remove the down power lines. There's a number of roads that are closed in Erie County, and unfortunately, we cannot remove trees on the roads if there's down power lines that are active.
Flooding also a problem today after torrential downpours last night. Oneida County and upstate New York still under a state of emergency because of all the flooding. Schools across our listening area closed today because of the wicked weather. North of Philly, reporter Mike Doherty describes the scene.
We're talking roofs torn off, garages torn to shreds, trees strewn all over the road.
Mike Doherty in Thornbury, Pennsylvania this afternoon. The temperature across the Northeast today has plummeted some 50 degrees from where we were yesterday. Now to California. New fire, same fuel. Blame it on the wind there as well. A new wildfire is forced thousands out of their homes north of L.A.
1,800 homes threatened and 7,500 people that are under evacuations right now.
Steve Kaufman with the Ventura County Fire Department. Correspondent Steve Futterman continues.
This is the latest fire that Southern California fire crews are dealing with. It's burning acreage here in Santa Paula just north of L.A. It's still an active fire, but not expanding that much. The troublesome Santa Ana winds were much stronger last night when the fire began. The winds are greatly reduced today, and tonight, the red flag warnings in Southern California may finally be lifted.
That's Steve Futterman reporting. Now to the political firestorm in Washington. House Democrats voting to officially start the impeachment probe into President Trump yesterday. The president expected to blast that probe tonight at a campaign stop in Mississippi. If you thought things were icy between the administration and Congress before, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Is the president impeached?
No. No, but thank you for asking.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on The Late Show last night. Texas Republican John Ratcliffe says President Trump's phone call to the leader of Ukraine was fine. And the longer the inquiry goes on, the worse things will be for Democrats.
The Democrats are lining up behind their leadership, but at the end of the day, the truth will defend itself.
With the House vote yesterday, the American public will now be thrown into the impeachment process with televised hearings and public testimony. They could start later this month.
They've still got some big fish to fry, some big depositions they want to conduct behind closed doors. They have lined up several of those for next week. We don't know whether some of those individuals will show up or not, and we still don't know if that's the end of the depositions, if they can get everything done next week and then perhaps move to public hearings the week after that.
That's Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill this afternoon. 14 of the Democratic White House hopefuls will take part in a key event in Iowa tonight, just months before the caucuses there. Impeachment is not what most voters in the Hawkeye State seem to care about.
Was strangely silent. And really, I have not heard that many Iowans sort of start jumping up and down on either side.
That's Iowa polling expert Ann Seltzer. Democratic presidential frontrunner Elizabeth Warren went public today with a $52 trillion Medicare for All plan.
It rests on the idea of taking away people's existing health insurance. A lot of Americans, most Americans, are insured through work, right? Taking away people's private insurance, forcing them on to Medicare is not something that Americans are going to want.
That's conservative columnist Chris Steigerwalt. Warren says her Medicare for All plan does not include a tax hike on the middle class. The unemployment rate ticked up slightly last month while the economy added 128,000 new jobs. The experts say it was another solid jobs report.
It looks like there's a little bit more momentum than previously thought, and so the economy continues to show just an incredible degree of resilience.
That's economist Mark Vittner. Kids back to school today in Chicago. The 11-day teachers' strike there is over. This mother and teacher says it's about time.
My son's in kindergarten, and he's missed so much. I try to do as much as I can with him, and I'm a kindergarten teacher as well. They need to get back to school.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot agreed to add 5 days to the school year to make up for time lost during the teacher's strike. Police in Oxford, Indiana say a 36-year-old woman was found dead in her home with an 8-foot-long python wrapped around her neck.
It appears that she got the snake out and was whatever people do with snakes, and what happened happened.
Police Sergeant Kim Riley says the home was owned by the local sheriff who lives next door. The python, part of a collection of snakes owned by that deceased woman. There's a murder witness in Florida, and her name is Alexa.
Hallandale police obtained a search warrant for audio picked up by Amazon's Echo smart speaker at the scene of a murder. It is believed that the device could have overheard an argument between a woman and her boyfriend, now charged in her death. Investigators wanted to listen to sounds or voices captured on the device, which are stored on the server maintained for Amazon. Alexa's the default wake word for the speaker, but may have been changed.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. Chick-fil-A a little embarrassed today. The Chicken chain sent out an email to its loyalty program members this week inviting them to come on in and celebrate National Sandwich Day on November 3rd. The only problem? November 3rd is a Sunday. Chick-fil-A restaurants are closed. Still to come this Friday, wicked winds in western New York, lunch shaming in Pennsylvania, and fall back this weekend.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. First it was the rain, then the thunderstorms, then the wind, then the chill, and then the lake flurries, and so it goes. Welcome to November. I've got your weekend forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Friday, November 1st. Wicked winds have died down some, but earlier today, wow. Hold on to your hat.
Reported gusts of between 60 and 65 miles per hour, the highest gust I've seen so far is 65 miles per hour near the Buffalo Coast Guard, right on the Lake Erie shore. It's been since last winter since we've seen widespread winds such as this.
John Hitchcock at the National Weather Service in Buffalo. Hundreds of thousands of folks all across New York and Pennsylvania without power earlier today. As for the weekend, a little taste of winter in some places.
As we go through the weekend, a better shot of accumulating snow will be later Saturday night into Sunday morning, mainly across the higher terrain south of Buffalo. We might see several inches of accumulation and maybe enough to cause some travel issues down there late Saturday night and Sunday morning.
A 50-degree temperature swing today from where we were yesterday. Meantime, local utility companies working round the clock to get the juice back on. National Grid spokesman Dave Bertola.
It's a combination of trees falling into wires and then wires falling out of the ground.
NYSEG's Trish Nilsson says utility crews from other states and other countries now helping in the restoration effort.
We've been bringing in crews from New England, from Pennsylvania, and also across the border in Canada.
Officials say it could take all weekend long to restore the power in some places. The wind and water damage from last night and earlier today causing road and school closures across a wide swath of New York and Pennsylvania. Yesterday, the wettest Halloween in the history of Buffalo. Privacy concerns being raised with a new piece of legislation in New York. New at noon, Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
The proposal by Assemblyman Nader Sage would put an indicator on driver's licenses for people with autism.
That mark would signify that they may be autistic, and there's some more challenges that may come into play.
Ben Harding with the Broome County Sheriff's Office tells 12 News it could help eliminate a potentially dangerous misunderstanding between law enforcement and autistic people.
Person may not be cooperative, but the identifying feature on the driver's license would allow first responders to know that there is an issue there and how to address it appropriately.
While there is not currently a vote scheduled on the bill, if passed, it would go into effect immediately. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. The war of words between President Trump and Governor Cuomo on full display again. Mr. Trump tweeting last night that despite paying millions of dollars in taxes to New York, state leaders have treated him unfairly. So, after he leaves the White House, he's moving to Florida. Governor Cuomo quickly responded by tweeting, "Good riddance." Lunch shaming in Pennsylvania. The Keystone State has quietly reinstated a policy that allows schools to give cheaper alternative meals to students who cannot afford the regular food in the cafeteria. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Language within this year's school code allows districts to withhold hot meals from students who accrue more than $50 in lunch debt. The practice typically affects students who don't qualify for free or reduced price lunch programs, but still struggle to pay for school meals. So why the law change? In part because districts are on the hook for lunch debts that in some cases have doubled since shaming was banned. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Two Pennsylvania state lawmakers have proposed legislation that would pay college athletes in the Keystone State. It's called the PA Fair Pay to Play Act. Democrat Dan Miller says it's long overdue.
It's about making sure that they have the abilities to capitalize on their God-given strengths and to treat our college athletes like we treat any 18 to 22 or 23-year-old, allow them to make contracts as they can.
The House measure would allow college athletes to earn endorsement deals and sign licensing contracts. Democrat Ed Gainey says if coaches and athletic directors are getting paid at the collegiate level, athletes should too.
And the only one that's not getting any type of incentive, not getting any type of pay, are these college athletes. So when you think about it, and you think about all the money that they make, universities and corporations, it's time to make the playing field fair and equitable.
Earlier this week, the NCAA voted to allow college athletes to get paid for their likeness and image. Representatives Miller and Gainey called that a smokescreen. They claim the college governing board is just using words and not proposing any action to fix what many are calling a broken system. Well, enjoy that extra hour of sleep this weekend, folks. You earned it. We fall back Saturday night. And as you turn the clocks back an hour, don't forget to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors.
It's critical that twice a year when we change the clocks, that everybody take a few extra moments to change the batteries in their smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, regardless of whether they think those batteries are still powered up or not.
Better to be safe than sorry, firefighter John D'Alessandro.
For a few dollars twice a year, you could really make the difference between getting out of your house safely or having a really tragic event.
And the experts say this is also the perfect time of year to go over that family evacuation plan. House fires more prevalent during the winter months because of heating sources being turned on again. Well, the 49ers, they're hot. They continue to roll. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers entered last night's game with the second most rushing yards in the NFL, but it was the air attack to lead them past the Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo with four touchdown passes in a 28-25 win.
We've done a good job of winning in different ways this year, whether it's offense, special teams, defense, I mean, and mix and match all of them. It's just that's how you create a good football team, though. You're not relying on one part, and everyone's playing together and playing complementary football.
Three of Jimmy G's touchdowns came in the first half. The Niners now 8-0 on the year. The Cardinals dropped to 3-5-1. No shame, says Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury.
That's a very good football team. You got to give them credit. They made a bunch of plays there on third down and kept them on the field. And then defensively, it's a really good group. Physical up front. Got a great pass rush and put us in a lot of negative situations.
Other NFL news, Redskin Pro Bowl tackle tackle Trent Williams back with the team after a lengthy holdout. He said yesterday he does not trust the organization or its medical staff after a cancerous growth was found on his scalp. Williams had surgery, needed 350 stitches and 75 staples on his head. He then failed his physical due to discomfort wearing his helmet. To the NBA. NBA stars Joel Embiid of the 76ers and Karl-Anthony Towns of the Timberwolves both suspended two games for their fight Wednesday night. Both players ejected. Philly and Minnesota both play tomorrow. Playing tonight, the Nets at home against the Rockets, Cavaliers in Indiana, Knicks in Boston taking on the Celtics. On the ice, Sabres in Washington against Ovechkin in the Capitals, Islanders at home against Tampa Bay, Flyers at New Jersey. Big baseball news. Major League Baseball season is over. Plenty of big names hitting the free agency. World Series standouts Anthony Rendon of the Nationals and Gerrit Cole of the Astros are among them, along with Giants ace Madison Bumgarner, Yankee shortstop Didi Gregorius, and White Sox slugger Jose Abreu, just to name a few. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
Thanks, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. The Capital Connection crew just around the corner, plus a food challenge, not for the faint of heart.
How the church responds to so-called celebrity conversions might say more about our faith than the celebrities. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. After everything that guy said and all the selfish, power-hungry things he's done, you expect me to believe that he's a Christian? Seems awfully convenient for him to find religion now. He still must answer for his past. Plus, his political history makes it hard to believe this religious conversion is authentic. It's probably just another ploy of an egomaniac. Look, celebrity conversions are not easy to navigate. In fact, the ongoing reaction to reports that Kanye West has been born again, is serious about his faith, and is even considering seminary, all in association with the title and the content in his much-anticipated music project, Christ is King, sounded more than vaguely familiar to those of us at the Colson Center. After all, our founder also had a celebrity conversion over four decades ago, and while I don't expect much of anything else about Kanye West to ever remind us of Chuck Colson, the reactions to this week's news were, shall we say, familiar. Still, of the many celebrity conversions we've seen over the years, this one seems different to me. Maybe it's because it would be hard to identify a bigger and more notorious celebrity today than Kanye West. Or maybe it's because at least part of his notoriety is due to a string of publicity stunts. Is it really hard to believe that this is just another one? No, it's not. And therein lies the challenge. It wasn't hard for Colson skeptics to note the suspicious timing between his conversion and the Watergate scandal either. In fact, the Washington Post felt obliged to note their skepticism of Chuck Colson's conversion over 35 years later when they were reporting on his death. There's a world of difference, of course, between a skepticism that comes after three decades of faithfulness and the concern that many of us feel right now for the reputation of Christ and his church. This is definitely a time to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So what might that look like? Well, first, I think we should be hopeful. No one, and I mean no one, is beyond the reach of the gospel. And here's why we have this hope. The headline of the Kanye conversion story, in any conversion story, is never the convert. It's the converter. Not Kanye, but Christ. At the end of the day, I believe Christ can save Kanye for the same reason I believe Christ can save me. Second, we should be grateful. As St. Paul wrote, even if Christ is being proclaimed by someone of whom we're skeptical, Christ is still being proclaimed. The message of Christ carries its own inherent strength. It's not dependent, thank God, on the strength or the stability of the messenger. Third, we should be wise. There are two ways Christians have set up celebrity converts for failure. First is by expecting too much too soon. I can think of more than one professional athlete and musician who came to Christ one week only to be asked to preach the next week. And there's also the mistake of sitting back waiting and saying something like, well, we'll just see if they make it, and if they do, we'll accept them into the church then. The problem, of course, is that no Christian can survive long without the church. We need the church. Kanye needs the church if his faith is to take take root and continue to change his life. Finally, we should expect life change. Chuck Colson's life change was dramatic, and the fruit certainly followed. As he often put it, his entire worldview was changed by Christ, and there are early and encouraging indications of changes in Kanye's worldview as well. My prayer is that these are early indications of what will be a powerful lifelong witness to the power of the gospel, and that, like Chuck, Kanye will never be ashamed of it. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life weather forecast, a regional view. The storm system that brought the tumult of late, the rain, the thunder, the wind, the cold, now some snowflakes, is pulling away, so the winds are slackening, but the chill will be lingering. Our call for this afternoon, varying amounts of clouds and sunshine. There could still be a shower flurry, though, across far western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Temperatures not moving much. The peak this afternoon generally in the low and mid-40s. Dropping tonight, 20s and low 30s. Fair skies for most. Could be a lake effect shower or flurry near Lake Erie. And then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy to partly cloudy for most. There'll be a late day shower in western New York. Sunnier in eastern Pennsylvania, though. High in the 40s and low 50s. A chilly day Sunday. A touch of lake snow and rain east of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clouds mixed sun elsewhere. High temperatures, mostly in the low to mid-40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are this week Tom Shaheen with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Guys, let's begin in Washington. Several swing district moderate Democrats on the hot seat this week, declaring publicly where they stand in this whole impeachment proceeding. This vote back on Thursday and the fallout from it, thinking of guys like Counter Lamb in Pennsylvania, maybe Anthony Brindisi in New York. Jason, how big of a risk is this for moderate Democrats in Trump territory going into a big presidential election next year?
Well, it's a huge risk. That's why you haven't seen really these votes on impeachment up to this point. There are those in the squad that would like to push Nancy Pelosi to hold these votes, but it's been difficult to get to that vote for them because Nancy Pelosi knows that she's trying to protect a House majority. And so you got guys like Representative Brindisi, who this is the last thing he wants to do is take this vote because he knows he'll be ticking off a lot of people in his district.
Yeah.
And so when you're one of these representatives that's living in a pro-Trump district, it's really problematic for you.
Yeah, and Trump won Pennsylvania, the first Republican in many, many years to do that back in 2016. Tom, think about suburban Pittsburgh. Connor Lamb, guys like that, or suburban Philadelphia, some of those districts. How risky is this if Democrats want to keep control of the House next year?
Sure. I think especially in the kind of district you're talking about with Connor Lamb in Pittsburgh and suburban Pittsburgh, an area that over the last 10 years or so has actually trended Republican. And I think especially with the Obama push for stringent coal emission requirements and all that, you're talking about an industrial area, coal area, blue collar, regardless of how they register, they're willing to vote for someone like a Trump, a Republican who shares their values. Mm. So I think it's risky if they keep beating the impeachment drum out there.
All right, Jason, let's bring up a couple issues. Kevin Parker of Brooklyn this week put out a bill that would allow inmates to vote while behind bars. He said, hey, they're part of the census. Why not make them part of the election process? Want to get your take on that, as well as here we are about halfway through the early voting in New York. Any surprises there? Comment on those two issues, if you would.
I would say this regarding the voting in prison. I just think there are certain rights that are surrendered while you're serving time, and voting rights is one of those. Once an inmate has served his time and has paid back his debt to society, I have no problem with restoring those voting rights. But it's really problematic to think that a prison in a particular region of the state is going to be able to weigh in, and particularly in some of these upstate regions where we have these prisons. that could shift a district considerably by people that really aren't even paying those taxes there. So that's a real problem. The other issue, though, regarding the, you know, this whole issue of the early voting, is I think it's as predicted. We're seeing a higher Democratic turnout in these particular places. SUNY Geneseo, for example, it's giving them an opportunity to bring out lots of students to vote in the elections. So it really is, as we thought it would be, an opportunity for Democrats to really drive the vote to get out the election on that day. There's some convenience to early voting. There are county workers and others that are participating. But nonetheless, I think that at the end of the day, you're going to see a whole lot more Democrats voting than Republicans. Republicans tend to rally around the day as a patriotic duty to vote on that day, whereas Democrats think of it as an opportunity to vote over several days to get college students and others to participate.
Yeah, maybe not so much an issue this year, but you bet your bottom dollar next year this is going to be an issue. Tom, Governor Wolf talking about election reform, going to sign this historic bill into law. A lot of policy wonkish type stuff we don't want to get into, but I want to focus on this elimination of the straight party ticket voting. That was the thing that Republicans negotiated with the governor to get him to sign this bill. Do they really fear a voter backlash against Trump next year? And is this an intentional effort to try to protect those down ballot candidates in a presidential election?
Good question. I think there was a larger goal of reforming the election system here, and there were certainly compromises they made with the governor and with House and Senate Democrats to get some things they wanted in the bill, like shortening the time between registration and the election. But I think certainly with a majority of Democrats registered in the state, Republicans are always looking over their shoulder and wondering what the next move would be. But I think some of the reforms are good. The system needed to be reformed. I'm not sure how I feel about the street party ticket, but I think this way people can pay attention to what candidates are saying and whether they share their values or not.
Yeah. And we're going to talk next about this dividing New York thing, Jason. It just won't go away. Senator Rob Ort, who's a mover and shaker in Albany, he's signed on to this effort just for kicks and giggles, because this probably not going anywhere. This would not create three states. This would create autonomous regions. Explain how this whole process would work for those who are interested in this sort of thing.
Well, essentially, there'd be three regions. There'd be the New York region down around New York City. There'd be the Montauk region looking around the Long Island area. And then the New Amsterdam region, which is largely that upstate region. Each region would have its own governor, but we would still be one state for many other purposes. And I don't think the idea is going anywhere. I think it is a talking point that is allowing people to express some of the frustration with where upstate versus downstate is at. But I just don't think it's going anywhere. And honestly, from my perspective, I would rather that we move on from these conversations and begin to talk about how can we win back the whole state for the values that we care about.
All right. Well said. Well, let's hope this doesn't go anywhere either, Tom. Brian Sims' effort to ban gay conversion therapy. Jason calls this the counselor coercion bill. The effort is underway. Sims says this is child abuse. Pretty strong language. Is he right?
He's not. And really, if he wanted to ban abuse in counseling, what he should do is try to regulate counselors from forcing minors into a lifestyle that they may not want or their parents may not want. So, I mean, the type of abuse they describe, the horror stories, those either don't exist or they're already prohibited by certain law. So what we're talking about is free speech and the freedom of a child or even the parents of a child to choose the type of counseling that they want.
Yeah, talk about child abuse. Chemical castration of a 7-year-old in Texas. That's child abuse. This maybe not so much. Jason, a big issue here in New York this week was whether tackling should be banned in youth football. I know you're a big Buffalo Bills fan, and last week against the Eagles, they didn't believe much in tackling. Maybe they banned it at one Bills drive. But your thoughts overall, I know, big football fan, should 12-year-old kids be tackling in football?
Yeah, I think we have to let kids be kids. And, you know, we are seeing this increasing movement to where the state is going to weigh in and be the parents for the kids. And I just think you have to let kids be kids. You know, they're going to play rough and tumble. They're going to tackle. They're going to do things even if they're not allowed to play tackle football. Kids are going to bang their heads. I think we do live in a day and age age, we have a greater awareness of concussion and concussion protocol, and we certainly ought to be focusing on those areas. But at the end of the day, let parents make the decision as to whether or not their kids play these sports, not big government.
Yeah, I picked on the Bills maybe unfairly there because I know they do a lot in Western New York to encourage heads-up football, teaching kids how to tackle correctly so that they don't hurt themselves. And a great point there, Jason. Tom, let's end with you and the Attorney General, Josh Shapiro. I thought this case was settled, maybe not. This crusade he's on against Catholic nuns. Explain to our listeners why this is important.
Sure. Crusade would be a correct word because this case actually goes back to 2016 when the Supreme Court had a case, Zubeck versus Burwell. And I mentioned that because the case involved the Obama administration going after the Catholic bishop of Pittsburgh, Bishop Zubeck, who stood up and pushed back and said, you know, the diocese and Catholic Charities and all in the Pittsburgh area will not comply with forcing us to provide this birth control, including abortifacients. And the Little Sisters became part of that case. But our own Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, was not satisfied either with that decision and wasn't even satisfied with the Trump administration's rule, which allowed exemptions for religious organizations. And I don't know how you can't get any more religious than the Little Sisters of the Poor, Order of Catholic Nuns, or the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And so he certainly is on a crusade to try and force everyone, regardless of religious belief, to comply with these Obamacare mandates.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week as we are out of time, but so many issues in the news we can't get to. If you want to know more about New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, Jason, where can folks check you out?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And in Pennsylvania, you got a great website as well, Tom. What's yours, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Job as always, guys. It's called Capital Connection. Comes your way every Friday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast, a regional view. The storm system that brought the tumult of late, the rain, the thunder, the wind, the cold, now some snowflakes, is pulling away, so the winds are slackening, but the chill will be lingering. Our call for this afternoon, varying amounts of clouds and sunshine. There could still be a shower flurry, though, across far western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Temperatures not moving much. The peak this afternoon generally in the low and mid-40s. Dropping tonight, 20s and low 30s. Fair skies for most. Could be a lake effect shower or flurry near Lake Erie. And then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy to partly cloudy for most. There'll be a late day shower in western New York. Sunnier in eastern Pennsylvania, though. High in the 40s and low 50s. A chilly day Sunday. A touch of lake snow and rain east of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clouds mixed sun elsewhere. High temperatures, mostly in the low to mid-40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Finally, this Friday, a food eating challenge. Not for the faint of heart. Once again at noon, Family Life, Spa Price.
Yeah, a Thai restaurant in Bangkok, Thailand, offering $330 to anyone who can eat a burger in under 9 minutes. The catch? This burger weighs 13 pounds. It's covered in onion rings, bacon, and mayonnaise. What's not to love about that? It's a 10,000-calorie meal. If you're interested, the burger costs you more than $80. Bob Price, Family Life News.
I'll pass. Thank you, Bob. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for coming along. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.